Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Don't even forget it. 85? 86. Harris? Nancy? 85?
Pick one, Timmy. It'll be right.
Nice.
He usually is.
Lemming. Ben is grabbing the gong.
Yep.
Ben Fredrickson's grabbing the gong.
I tried.
It knocked it over. Danny Schwartz smiles with the gong. You can win a Lemmings lunch from Hot Shots by emailing in the morning after at InsideSTL.com. Kelly Chase going to be with us at 9 o'clock. Most of the program going to be focused on what took place last night at the Scott Trade Center with the Blues losing to the Wild by a score of 2-0. And now the series is 3-1 with the Blues leading heading back to Minnesota. So that is how things played out. And we will get the opinion of John Shannon of Rogers Sportsnet here in a matter of moments on what we saw last night in St. Louis with the Blues and the Wild. Here is what Alexander Steen had to say regarding the performance of the Minnesota Wild and why they were so good coming out in the first period.
I mean, they're a good team. They came at us. I think we weathered it decently. Like I said, we make a couple mistakes and it ends up in the back of our net. And, you know, they're defensively good and solid. And, you know, we had some chances in the second half of the game, but didn't solve Dubnyk tonight. So we'll regroup, get recharged and ready for the next one.
Sounded like you, Jennings, during a foot fetish Friday.
Yeah, there was a lot going on there.
A lot of panting.
Damn.
The first 10 minutes were all Minnesota last night. Blues didn't get their first shot on goal till 9:57 in. And a rare mistake by Jake Allen leads to their first goal. They get another final score, 2-0. Saturday afternoon at 2 is when you will see them again. How will that play out? Let's go to John Shannon on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. John from Rogers Sportsnet. John, good morning.
Morning, boys. How are you?
Very good. Thanks so much for joining us. In St. Louis, there was a hope, if not maybe a bit of an expectation, that the Blues would close things out last night. Unfortunately, Minnesota certainly came to play, and they got a bounce going their way, and they get that first goal. And unfortunately for Blues fans, the series continues. What did you think of last night's Game 4?
A couple of things. First of all, I think it was a huge benefit for the Wild to be able to go home. Back in their own beds for a couple of days, treated like a regular season game, not stuck in the same city and listening to all of us talk about how the 3-0 sweep was going to occur. I think that was really important for them to get out of town, get back to their practice rink, work on some stuff, refocus. So I wasn't surprised. I don't think it's bad for the Blues. You know, they still have 3 chances to win the series. If they do, they deserve it. If they don't win 3 games, they don't deserve the series. And at 3-0 against a team that some people on paper would think is better, it was probably a good mental game for Mike Yeo and Doug Armstrong to have with this hockey club.
Hey, John, what do you make of some of the officiating last night? I don't mean this like pro Blues kind of thing, but there's been some complaints about officiating in the playoffs across the board, and there were some specific complaints about the icing calls last night and how they affected the game. What were your thoughts watching it?
Well, if you were in Boston, you heard the same thing. If you heard in Toronto, you heard the same thing. This is one of those ones where, as a guy who's been around the league a long period of time, the NHL, as great a job as it does, is paper thin when you put these types of games on a regular basis with a 2-man system. You know, I'm not sure they're deep enough with quality officials to do it every night. That's the hard part. You know, they need 32 officials on these games to do that, and that's very difficult.
Is it just because the numbers aren't there, or it's just that difficult to be as good as you can be, you know, working as much as they got to?
I think it's both. I'm not sure that there are, you know, the player, listen, you guys see it. The players ratchet it up. They go up 2 levels for the playoffs. Well, the expectation is the referees have to match that too. And I'm not sure that there's, and I don't want to be referee bashing because it's the same for everybody, but I'm not sure that there's that level of competence amongst the officials on a daily basis to do that in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And by the way, I think the NHL knows that. And I think they're working hard to fix it over the next few years.
We have seen a unique series in the sense that the Blues are up 3-1. But I think if you were, I said this in the 7 o'clock hour of our show, John, I think if you were scoring this like a boxing match, I think you would be giving Minnesota the advantage overall. And I think the Blues, and I know I cited this as well, Joel Edmondson said the Blues still haven't played their best game, which is an odd spot to be in when you're on the verge of advancing to the second round against a team that had the regular season, the caliber of Minnesota's, albeit the struggles they had, and Dubnyk in particular, in the month of March. So if you're analyzing this series, do you think that the Wild have overall outplayed the Blues?
Well, if you do it in a microcosm, they've certainly outplayed them in Game 1.
Yes.
And even if you call Game 2, 50-50, right? If you call it, an even round in the fight, so all of a sudden, Minnesota's won Game 1, and it won Game 4. Let's give the Blues Game 3, then it's a split decision with Minnesota ahead.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think that's fair. But you know what? That is in a nutshell, a Stanley Cup best of seven series. That's what happens. Is taking advantage of as few opportunities as possible in order to win, and then taking advantage on the emotional side of a team that I think's a little fragile. I mean, I think Minnesota coming into this series was as fragile as any team entering the postseason. And the Blues did a magnificent job of taking advantage of it. So from that perspective, because I'm not an analytics guy. I'm not one of those guys that talks about Corsi or talks about puck possession and dump-ins and all this stuff. I believe this game is as good as it is because it's the most emotional physical game going in professional sports. And teams can will their ways to win. And that's exactly what the Blues have done.
Of the two central teams fighting for their lives, the Wild and now the Blackhawks tonight, which one would you say has the better chance of overcoming their respective 3-0 deficits?
I can never count the Chicago Blackhawks out until the buzzer goes and they're down by 4.
Mm-hmm.
I just think they're too deep. I think they have too much will. I think Nashville's had a magnificent series and has outplayed them in all three games. But when you win 3 Stanley Cups in 7 years, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. I fully expect in this series, I think that they go back to St. Paul and the Wild win and the Blues win at home in Game 6.
And who, you know, moving ahead, just looking ahead, speculating, who would you like Blues versus Nashville?
Well, you know what? By the way, you guys know this better than I do. St. Louis-Nashville is one of the great secret rivalries.
Yeah, it is. And they've never played in the playoffs, John.
I know. I've seen enough Blues-Predators games to know that something happens to that water in the Mississippi that it gets vicious. And it's going to be a fun one. It's going to be a fun one. I would. It's a pick'em for me.
Yeah.
St. Louis Nashville is a pick'em. They play similar styles. You know, their goaltending both have risen to a new level. It wouldn't surprise me that if we could vote, we want the series to go 9.
I could see it. I mean, and it would highlight a rivalry that you're right. I think even some people locally don't even know, but that when these teams have had some bad blood in the past, and it would be, I mean, they're only 5 hours apart from a drive standpoint. That'd be pretty good.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, John Davidson, who is the former president of the Blues, is still one of my best friends. He used to just revel in the Nashville rivalry. And David Poile, I've known since David and I were together in Calgary, and he would do the same thing. And that whole thing in middle America, you know, Tennessee versus Missouri, wow, it is something to behold. And I think both cities would would become electrified about it.
John Shannon, Rogers Sportsnet analyst, our guest here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After, joining us on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. John, thank you so much for the time.
All right, let's go Blues.
Yes,
John
sir.
Shannon with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. The Predators and Blackhawks play this evening, with the Predators on the verge of advancing to the second round and eliminating the Blackhawks in the first round for the second straight year. I was wondering aloud earlier in the week if Joel Quenneville will start catching heat. Not that he should, but when you have two regular seasons like the Blackhawks have had, even though the Blues did have home ice last year against them, and then they get knocked out in the first round, do people start getting, despite all the cups, agitated with that? I don't know. That game tonight is a 7 o'clock start. They get a 7 o'clock start. Maybe if some of these series start ending,
yep,
the 8:45s will end. Brian Elliott is done. The Calgary Flames get shipped in a sweep by the Ducks last night. And so that eliminates one of them. So Anaheim advances, and San Jose and Edmonton is tied at 2. That is also this evening. Late start, 9:30 St. Louis time. So David Backes and the Boston Bruins are fighting for their lives. Former Blues fun, Troy Brouwer, Brian Elliott, and David Backes could be done by the time the Blues even take the ice Saturday afternoon at Xcel Energy, as the Senators now lead that series 3-1. Niebling Auto. Niebling Auto Repair in South St. Louis is celebrating its 125th anniversary, located at 5208 South Kings Highway by Christie Park. These guys have seen it all, and they know what they're doing. Niebling started as a wagon shop in 1892 and is the oldest family-owned auto repair business in St. Louis. Niebling Auto Repair does it all, everything from tires, oil changes, brakes, computer diagnostics, to engine and transmission repair. For your convenience, they have a free shuttle service to take you to and fro your home or work. They're South City through and through. Family-owned and trusted for 125 years. Contact Tom or Abby, fourth and fifth generation of Nieblings, at 314-352-6317 or online at nieblingauto.com. Jennings, we have Lemmings Days at The Rock.
Yes, we do.
And it's starting here in just a few weeks. And it's an opportunity for the listeners to play against
you
me
and I.
And you.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to take them on. Two-person scramble starts May 10th. We'll do every other week through the end of July. Everybody gets their golf, their cart, range balls, and the team itself. Their team gets a six-pack. It's 360 a team for the six dates. We got some great prizes, like golf at Stonewolf and golf at Gateway National and a Wilson Triton driver, Cardinals tickets. The golf course itself is really going to be in great shape for May 10th. We'll be about a week out from the Normandy Amateur, and the greens are coming along very well. I think the weather has helped a lot of golf courses. I'm hearing a lot of good reports about this spring, the condition of golf courses. You can go to normandygolf.com or go to insidestl.com. There's information there. And if you go to normandygolf.com, click on the store, and it'll take you right to Tim's picture.
Yeah, and that's what you click on. All of a sudden, now you're playing against me and Jennings. And Jennings, I've never played with you. All I know is you were a South Carolina Gamecock.
I was, and we just had our first PGA Tour winner since, gosh, Freddie Wadsworth is...
Oh, Freddie.
Yeah, you remember, yeah, Freddie. Yeah. Freddie Wads.
Yeah.
Leslie Bryan winning on the PGA Tour. So congratulations to him. Speaking of congratulations, Tim, three, I know, devoted listeners to this program are celebrating their birthday today.
Cletus.
Cletus's birthday.
Cletus loves America.
Absolutely. Aaron Mayall, who listens to the program.
I'm not familiar with Aaron's work. Is she hot?
No, it's a guy.
Mm. Perfect. Perfect.
But he's a loyal listener. And my goodness, it's a shame Doug's not here. On my Facebook timeline, or my Facebook birthdays, turning 31 years of age today, Deke Dotum.
Oh, happy birthday, Deke.
Dotum's 31st birthday.
He's all grown up.
Wow, wow, wow.
Deke.
And I met Mrs. Dotum at Kirkwood Brewhouse last week.
Just got to meet Richie, his father.
He might get a birthday shout-out from Danny Mack during the game today.
Oh, wow, he could.
Just got a note here from Jim Hayes. Saw the Dotum family in the elevator. Understand it's their son Deke's birthday. So happy birthday.
Jim Hayes was telling me on the way to the ballpark, wanted me to pass along a note from the Dotem family. He met Mr. and Mrs. Dotem and their son, Deke. And they want to say hi to family and friends back home in St. Louis.
This can't see Senior doing that back in the
day. You couldn't see that happening?
With Shannon.
And then, you know, there's like some 80-year-old woman in Poplar Bluff. Goes, God, that's so nice.
That is nice that Dan would recognize the Dotems.
Deke, such an interesting name.
Love New York. I love New York.
That's taken over the meow for you, isn't it?
Yeah, he hasn't gone meowing yet today, I don't think. He hasn't gone meowing yet. Plowboy, have you ever felt more comfortable operating the board than you do right now? Because I'll tell you, that's what the performance indicates.
Well, it runs itself when you have Mike Francesa, Jason Barrett carrying the program. I mean,
right.
All you got to do is press a couple buttons.
But you can never go wrong with going to the classics.
Oh, I agree. I need to incorporate some older drops in there. Just, you know, it's a new shiny toy every time you get a new Francesa drop or a new Barrett podcast comes out. You just focus in on those, and I need to broaden my horizons with my drops. So
Iggy,
I will.
Iggy, who would you rather play golf with, Francesa or Barrett? I mean, that's tough.
I mean, I can't pick either of those.
Do you have a rapport with Francesa of some form?
No. Never met the man.
Jennings, have you ever golfed with Spurrier?
I never golfed with Spurrier. No, yeah. I never have. I do know that one of the tremendous benefits that he received when taking the job at the University of South Carolina was essentially a membership to Augusta National.
Really?
Yeah.
How many members do they have?
If I said 500, I think I might be right. You got to
right.
remember.
And it's pretty diverse.
Yeah, and so many of them, you know, yeah. It's pretty diverse. So many of them don't necessarily, you know, play that often. It's, you know, it's an out-of-town club, if you will. It's a unique spot.
Yeah. Have you played it?
I have never played it. I was supposed to.
You've definitely been there, though.
I've been there eight times. I was supposed to play it in 2003. In December, Senior had set it up, and the member had a heart attack 2 weeks before.
Oh, man.
He lived, but he couldn't play anymore.
So you can officially be mad at him.
And you're going to play in December?
Yeah, December we were going to play. The golf course usually is open from November 1st, I want to say, to about the end of the year, or maybe, you know, December 15th or in around there. Yeah. And then they reopen it and close it pretty much a couple weeks after the Masters. Well, it probably May 15th.
Oh, they close it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For how long?
The majority of the summer. I mean, I think there could be some rounds played in the summer, but because they can't have the same conditions down there that, you know.
Ah.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's a fun fact for no one. Yeah, Brandon, what can I do for you?
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
You know, I've heard you say before about when you meet a hero of yours, when you meet a media celebrity or something, that you're a little nervous.
Right, of course. It's never what you expected.
I got to meet Jimmy the Cat Hayes yesterday at the ballpark. I was watching a weather balloon. He came out of the dugout, very approachable, fist bumped me. I am on cloud nine. I just wanted to thank him for being a gentleman and for showing me that even the people that are at the very top of sports media – are just people like you and I, and we're all relatable. It gave me faith in humanity.
Oh my God!
Wow.
Thanks a lot, guys. Love the show.
Thank you. Get well.
Look at that. What a wonderful. Thank you.
Cats like that with everybody at the ballpark. Hey, I see it firsthand.
Doug, Jim, and Tim, how y'all doing this morning?
People say Cat, he waves, he takes pictures with people.
There were a lot of pictures of him yesterday on the fan page.
Well, those are creepy ones. They're sneaking pictures of him in the clubhouse.
But Cat's all over the joint. It's not like he just sits down by the dugout and waits for the game to end. Cat's moving around.
Yeah, some guys let the journalism come to them.
Yeah.
That's right.
Cat goes and
goes. Yeah, he seeks it. Brandon, I hope you get to meet a tall glass of bleach. Thank you, Barnhart Brawl.
You call and you might be
you
in
call
trouble.
And you get hit. You just get hit. You call into the program and you get hit. Brandon, suck story shotgun. Thanks. That's from Stubby Applause.
Oh.
Let's see. Great call, F-Face.
It's
a nice call.
Ozzie Smith could call. Send somebody into him.
It just doesn't matter. You call into this show, and unless you're Larry or Mike,
you got no shot.
You're just... How much did the cat pay for that guy to call in? It's from Butch McGuire. I got to shake Tim's hand at the 10th anniversary party. It was awesome. It's from Grimy from South County.
That's a gong.
I'm getting a little lax.
You shouldn't even hang it back up there.
It's hold on a minute. We're going to get a real good gong.
You're going to get a good strike.
Hold on.
Oh, that was
ooh, and
solid.
It almost went down. Very nice. Danny Schwartz, over. The sponsor. It's the MediCenter 8 o'clock hour, brought to you by Sildenafil, the same active ingredient in Viagra, offering the same results, but with massive savings. To learn more, call Goldsmith MediCenter Pharmacy at 314-432-5020. Kelly Chase joining us, presented by Petromart. That's coming your way at 9 o'clock. And then the Hot Shots email today, 9:45, the morning after, at InsideSTL.com. Brandon, take a shot of motor oil and chase it with some bleach.
Mm.
I wish, nope. Let's see. Tim should have told his, you see why I didn't read it?
Yeah.
Tim, and sometimes it's tough because you're just reading.
Yes.
They set you up.
And then all of a sudden you read it.
That was strong.
And then all of a sudden I become the target of the Twitter pitchfork mafia for the day. And then like Anderson Cooper's debating me and whether or not I should keep my job 12 hours later.
Anderson Cooper.
And then the cycle goes on until we find the next target for outrage.
And 15 guests all weighing in on how terrible of a person
I gotta
you are.
Tell you. One day I was driving on Highway 40 and getting off at Hanley. Okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, are you heading?
I'm heading west.
Westbound.
Yes, westbound.
Okay.
And I look over.
So now you're heading north in Clayton.
And I'm going to take a left on Hanley.
Okay. Now you're heading southbound towards
back
Richmond
to the
Heights.
Old station. Back
yes,
in the day.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You remember it a couple times. And I look to my right and I see Zipra Zeppa.
The wonderful Zipra Zeppa of the Zippo Awards.
And then I look a little closer, and riding shotgun with Zip is Bill O'Reilly.
They have a relationship.
They worked together, I guess, back in the day at a station together.
Yes.
And Zip would bring him in once in a while, and I just thought to myself, what an interesting duo. I mean, Zip, who is so nice that it's painful.
The nicest human being, if Tom Ackerman and Zipra Zeppa got together, the world would just combust.
Yeah, it would. There'd be world peace everywhere. And I'm thinking to myself, how can Zip like this guy? But I had to mention that on the day.
Now, you're saying this on a day where Doug is not here.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and we nobody to defend necessarily that side of the...
What would Doug say if he was here? Why wouldn't you expect two nice
know.
People to hang out
same,
together?
No, that's not the direction. That's not the direction it would go. Hey, speaking of fun and games in Washington, Rob Gronkowski just kind of peeked in on Sean Spicer's daily briefing yesterday. The Plowwild has that audio at your disposal. Here's this.
We'll see what pans out in the negotiation, but I think there's an opportunity. Can I just...
Some help.
A lot of help.
I think I got this, but thank you. Maybe. All right, thanks, man. I'll see you in a minute. Hold on. All right, that was cool. Real quick, how do you follow that?
That's Rob Gronkowski peeking in, asking if the White House press secretary needed some help as the Patriots visited the White House yesterday. And Tom Brady, who at least we thought anyway, was friends with President Trump before he was President Trump, as he had a Make America Great Again cap in his locker, posted yesterday that he would not be able to make it to the White House for personal reasons. And then yesterday, as President Trump is welcoming the Patriots to the White House, he named a number of players, Danny Amendola, Julian Edelman, Malcolm Mitchell, all of which are nice players, none of which are Tom Brady. And that was leading to people wondering on the internet if that were intentional because he was pissed that Brady no-showed.
Of course it was.
Well, it's an interesting situation because they had 34 Patriots who went and 34 skipped. So Brady, as the leader of the team, is put in an interesting spot. He's clearly backed Trump before, yet half of his team didn't like the president enough to not go to the White House after they won the Super Bowl. Some of those guys had been there before.
Yeah.
But still, you'd think you go to the White. You usually go to the White House after you win a championship. So I think what he realized was, look, this is probably going to. He couldn't win there, so he decided to toe the PC line there.
So
he also might have been in mourning for Aaron Hernandez too. That's something that hasn't been considered.
Wow.
You're being serious.
No.
You're not being serious.
No, I'm kidding.
I just love that. Let me get the bell for that.
Well, as the rally was going on, to add to the intrigue, Gisele Bündchen sent out a tweet saying that she is going to be part of an April 29th climate change rally in Washington, D.C., and she tweeted out, "March for climate, jobs, and justice to change everything. We need everyone." She tweeted that out as the Patriots were visiting the White House. So I don't know if that was the family situation that Tom was referring to. I think his mom is sick.
His mom has, well, that came out during the Super Bowl. His mom is dealing with cancer.
So I don't, so honestly, I read that. Well. We were on the air, and I was going to bring it up yesterday, but then I think we got into my Mount Rushmore of adult film stars from 1986, and so I got distracted.
That's a good segment.
But I saw it, and I honestly, I'm just like, I head in the sand. I don't know what's going on with me. But this is what I really thought. I'm like, oh, I hope everything's all right with Brady's family. I took it for face value. Because, listen, here, when it comes to Robert Kraft, and people can like one's politics, dislike one's politics, I do find it to be, and maybe I'm missing it because back in the 90s, for example, I wasn't really paying attention to it. I was in my teens and 20s, so what would
just slaying gals. Yep.
No. A lot of manual play. But I wasn't paying attention to politics, and I guess it was divided at that time. I don't know. I mean, certainly in the late 90s with Lewinsky and Clinton being polarizing, I suppose. But now people, it seems, surround themselves with friends of the same political ideology, which is you go to St. Louis U High, you're not exactly surrounded by liberals. And so a lot of my friends are certainly conservative. I mean, God bless them, you know. Different perspectives and different upbringings and all of those things, so totally cool with me.
But you don't mind people with other beliefs.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Why would I? I mean, if anything, I enjoy it. Yeah. It'd be kind of boring if it
everybody
that
was
way.
The same.
Yeah, I love, next to lesbianism, the thing that makes my synapses fire hardest is a great philosophical discussion. I'm talking about a question that doesn't necessarily have an answer, not a discussion in which you're quoting Rachel Maddow or Bill O'Reilly. So, you know, you come to the table with your own thoughts and then an acknowledgement that perhaps things are not necessarily the way that one thinks they are. Because, like I said, I might be wrong. I don't know. But what I'm saying regarding Donald Trump and at least Robert Kraft, and Brady didn't have this relationship, and Robert Kraft, I saw him do an interview. I don't know if this was on 60 Minutes. Was it 60 Minutes or Real Sports? It had to be one of those two that did a profile on Kraft and his relationship with
Plowsy. Which one?
Trump. Yeah, I know. Plowboy is a big morally safer guy.
Morally safer.
But the question was asked, you know, Robert, your ties to Donald Trump, because I believe I don't know who it was, but a high profile political official, maybe from China, was in town. Robert Kraft was at the meal with President Trump. And he said, people can say whatever they want. All I know is when my wife was battling her illness, Donald Trump called me, either he said every week or every day, to check in. And so that is where my loyalty is. And so it could be somebody who could be, I mean, I've said it before, perhaps one of the best people I've worked with in this business, worked for, I guess, by definition, is a guy who left radio to work in, I believe it would be specifically evangelical Christianity. And we're obviously couldn't be more opposite when it comes to that, but I couldn't respect him anymore. So if that person were to run for office, I'm certain he would have the evangelical base on his side. If I were to run for office, I'm quite certain the evangelicals wouldn't be on board with me, but it doesn't matter. We're coming from, you know, different viewpoints, but I respect him as a person, even if we have a different view politically. And so it is an odd thing to me. In 2017, because I don't think this was the way it was, say, 20 years ago,
I'd
but maybe I'm wrong.
No, I'd agree with that.
That if one has, you can be...
There wasn't the venom and there wasn't
this...
Yeah,
that if like, you're an Obama supporter, then like you can't be friends with somebody who's a Trump supporter.
Right.
And I'm not saying that, of course, is an absolute. But it seems like that's more of a problem. I'm just like, I really don't care. And perhaps it would be somebody like, yeah, maybe I'm not really a big fan of Trump, but I like his policies, or I like what I think he's trying to do, whatever. It's fine. Who cares? So I find, you know, but at the same time, if one does not want to show up at the White House, and there were some cardinals who, and it didn't get as much attention as Trump, but there were some cardinals who didn't go to the White House after they won in 11. Tony La Russa being one of them, if I'm not mistaken. And if that was intentional, or if it was coincidental, whatever. I mean, that's one of the beauties of the whole operation, is that you can express yourself.
Yep.
But then you don't have to suffer consequences for it. So if Tom Brady chose to not go to the White House yesterday because it was President Trump, so be it. If it was not, and it was because, as Ben made reference to, his mom's illness or some other personal situation, God bless him. I, as somebody who voted for President Obama, wasn't like, man, what's up with La Russa not going to see the prime? It's like, all right, maybe he's not on board. God bless. And if somebody does want to go see President Trump, God bless. You know,
Trump would apparently have more owners present at his invitation to events than players, because the list is out. It's been disclosed some of the NFL owners who've donated money to Trump.
Who were some of those?
Dan Snyder of the Redskins, Shad Khan of the Jaguars.
And what is this in reference to?
This is
donations
for Trump's inaugural committee. The Federal Election Committee disclosed it, which is people get interested in this. Bob McNair of the Texans, Robert Kraft of the Patriots. No surprise there. Woody Johnson of the Jets. And, Tim, you want to guess the last one?
The Steamer?
Yeah.
Steamer?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Is that where I am? No, but I understand that's where they are, and there are reasons for it.
I think it's fascinating, because what if, like, I guess to me the dynamic is the play, like, they're clearly players, 34 didn't go. So does it ever get to the point where it creates, like, that's what I wondered if it happened with Brady. Like, he puts the Make America Great hat in his locker, and he likes Trump. He knows him personally, but I doubt, maybe he is in favor of his politics. Maybe he's just a friend of his.
Yeah, right.
You know? And then like half the team is like, hey, man, we're not cool with that. And then if I'm Tom Brady, and even if I am in line with his politics, team is like, hey, we're not cool with that, I'm going to go, okay, I'll take it out.
What a weird spot.
I'd say quit caring about it. Let's win football games.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I think that, you know, everything now, even people that you work with at whatever, wherever you work. I mean, I got a guy that at the golf course that thought Trump was the greatest thing since sliced bread, and I can't understand it. I can't relate to it, but I don't look down upon the guy or change my opinion of the guy because of his political views. I know there are some people out there that do that. And I do think Tim makes an excellent point that 20 years ago or 30, maybe it hasn't been since the 60s that there was such a divide or such a strong feeling if you were not part of the same party.
When did teams start going to the White House?
That's a great question.
Because, for example, you know, but I mean, was it that divide? Like, when did teams visit when Nixon was in the White House during Vietnam? I don't know.
Elvis went. I know that.
Elvis went.
Yep.
Forrest Gump was there for LBJ. Yes,
but I understand when you're voting for someone, it comes down to political parties, or if an independent, it comes down to policies. But when you're invited to the White House as a sports team, sure, you don't have to go, but it shouldn't be your political view.
Right.
You should be honored that the president of the United States wants to honor your team. Come to the White House. It has nothing to do with politics. So if you don't want to go,
agree.
That's great.
It's the
but it
honor.
Should be, I'm not going because I didn't vote for him. That should have nothing to do with if you're going to be honored by the White House for what you achieved.
It dates back to
72, wasn't it? The Dolphins?
Says, the tradition of sports teams visiting the White House dates back to at least August 30th, 1865.
Oh, my.
When Andrew Johnson welcomed the Brooklyn Atlantics and Washington Nationals amateur baseball clubs. That's from an article. That was, on ESPN.
Who was that, U.S. Grant?
Andrew Johnson.
1865?
John F. Kennedy was the first president to welcome the NBA champs.
Yep.
Boston Celtics also welcomed the Indiana University men's basketball team.
In 1924, the Washington Senators visited Calvin Coolidge.
Ronald Reagan made it the practice of honoring championship teams at the White House a regular occurrence.
Okay.
Reaganomics, that was a part.
Right.
Maybe it shouldn't happen. I mean, maybe that in the scheme of things, instead of that hour or 20 minutes or whatever it is, that we should be worrying about national policy rather than who wins the four major sports. Or now it seems like every team gets to go. I mean, if you win the NCAA golf championships, you get to go for a
is
day.
Is that true? Really?
I'm paraphrasing. Okay. I mean, I don't know that that is necessarily the case, but it seems like every couple of days, you know, here's the, you know, the volleyball team from California or the so-and-so. It just,
here is Brady's statement, and this is what I read yesterday while we were on the air, and I guess it was 9:32 on the East Coast, so it was right around this time yesterday I read it, and I was going to discuss it, but I was just going to read it for face value and then not have this deep dive into what it could possibly mean. So this is what he said. I am so happy and excited that our team is being honored at the White House today. Our team has accomplished something very special that we are all proud of and will be for years to come. Thank you to the president for hosting this honorary celebration and for supporting our team for as long as I can remember. In light of some recent developments, I am unable to attend today's ceremony as I am attending to some personal family matters. Hopefully, if we accomplish the goal of winning a championship in the future years, we will be back. We will be, like he said, we will back on the South Lawn again soon. I assume he meant we will be back on the South Lawn again soon. Have a great day. Have a great day was the oddest point of the end the thing to me. So, I mean,
did he say he loved the Knicks?
He did not mention. Oh, okay. He did not mention that. So I read that and I'm like, I'm aware of the situation with his mom. Who knows? He has a family. Who knows what's going on? But, you know, so he didn't go. But then President Trump didn't mention him. And then I'm like, okay, now is there some, now is there something odd there?
It just slipped his mind. You can't, I mean, a lot of people think about the Patriots without thinking about Tom Brady.
All right, here's an example for you.
What do you have?
You're kidding there too, right?
Of folks that shouldn't go, unless maybe you think they should have gotten the opportunity to go. I don't know. In 2008, the Alaska Fairbanks Rifle Team visited the
nice.
White House.
Nice club.
I didn't realize that we had an NCAA championship for rifle.
I think, I guess I'm going to side with Iggy here. I guess my take on it would be I would like to see the White House up close and personal if I hadn't been before. And I don't really care. It wouldn't matter to me who's the president. The White House can be your favorite, the home of your favorite president. All the presidents stay there. That's kind of what makes it cool. I would like to see that, but I'm not going to also get, you know, go on a Twitter rant or get all angry if somebody doesn't want to go or if they want to make a political statement by not going. I think that's part of the reason we're Americans. We can do that. Now, some people just hate the idea of anything political mixing in sports, period. They just want to pretend that sports aren't political, which that's not true because everything is political.
Jennings, now you're taking heat.
Uh-oh.
Some shrapnel's coming in.
Bring it. I love it.
855-282-8255, 855-CUB-TALK. Really, Jay?
Yes.
Really? This coming from a guy who licks the feet of bar skanks. You're now giving advice on U.S. policy, WTF. That's from the East Side Warrior.
East Side who?
Warrior.
How does he spell that?
W-A-R-R-I-O-R. It's the pronunciation.
I don't necessarily think I was necessarily giving advice. I was stating a point that I'm not sure that in this day and age, that maybe for the East Side Warrior or whatever the hell your friggin' name is, that maybe we should worry more about North Korea than we should about the friggin' Alaska Fairbanks Rifle Team. Now, go home and get your East Side Shine Box.
Wow, wow, wow.
Chump.
Wow.
Must be a
TJ Moe.
He's a TJ fan. He thinks TJ could beat Ronda Rousey.
TJ takes heat in the 7 o'clock hour.
This guy, get out of here.
And now the East Side Warrior takes heat in the 8 o'clock hour. Who's going to get it in the 9 o'clock hour?
The 8 o'clock hour is brought to you by Sildenafil, the same active ingredient Viagra, offering the same results but with massive savings. To learn more, call Goldsmith Medicine Center Pharmacy at 314-432-5020. The sponsor of the 8 o'clock hour here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. And a friendly reminder, when this program is out and about, all of our events are presented by Bud Select. Bud Select, the sponsor of TMA Lives. We have other events that we are looking forward to doing here over the next few months. Big doings, as our audience, God bless them, always comes out for the events. Tim, I am sure, according to Iggy, he stayed at the White House and got to know President Reagan. That is from Mae Young's Newborn Hand.
Yeah, Nancy grabbed my ass, too.
Oh, boy. Now we
Did
got
she
this
have hammer
going.
Toes?
She was a friend with Leona at one time, I believe.
Going on.
Let's see. Let's unite and get back to making fun of Iggy and TJ Moe. That's from Recaps. Recaps, Iggy is one of the CJ6.
Yeah, I think it was upset yesterday because I forgot to answer one of the other CJ6 question on the fan page.
What was the question? You can answer right now.
It's the same answer I gave to Chrissy Blake. I didn't see his question. I posted a picture of my garden yesterday that Thies Farms really came out and did a great job on, thanks to Mark and the guys.
It really,
Mitch the Sex Kitten.
It really looks good.
Lesbians are going to like that.
Somebody said they'll probably like the floral pattern of patio furniture I have. But you can see the big yard, and somebody asked, good driving range. I said, perfect for like 80-yard wedges to practice. Somebody, Chrissy Blake, said, can we play wiffle ball back there? I said, anytime you want to come over. Well, I guess I missed one of the CJ6 earlier had asked something about wiffle ball.
Wiffle ball.
And I didn't answer their question. So
when you answered Chrissy, they got pissed.
Yeah, Timmy recaps.
There's a lot of politics on this fan page, Jennings.
I don't understand it.
Aware of.
Yeah, I just try and be nice to people.
I did enjoy some of the photoshopping of the garden. It was kind of funny, actually.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, there's all kinds of things they put in. There's a hammerhead shark in there, a few other things. They got the runaways in the garden with a cage around them saying, I kidnapped the runaways.
So a guy who sucks toes can't comment on politics, but a guy who says grab women by the... That's a five-letter word for cat or kitten.
Can be the president.
Can be the president. Got it. That's from the Hunchback of Vaughn Castle.
Thank you, Mr. Vaughn Castle.
The texts, they're coming in. They're coming in fast. They're coming in furious. Hi, Tim. I'm back. For the record, the Loomster is not endorsed by the CJ6. Iggy, what does that mean?
I guess he's not part of the CJ6. But okay.
How many are in the CJ6?
I think there's like eight now.
Oh, they expanded.
Well, Aaron Reich?
It's like the Big 12.
No, he doesn't have two first names.
I don't know if they want, just for protection of everybody, I don't know if people want their full names read out on there. Let's see. Getting all Craig Calcaterra on us. That's from John Frascatori. What does that mean? These texts I read, I don't know what they mean.
Craig Calcaterra is a baseball writer who writes for NBC Sports.
Okay.
Who is very opinionated.
I see.
Never heard of
politically.
Him.
Oh, really?
I think so, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought I've heard of him.
Let me ask you this, Ben Fred. If you, in some of your articles, mm-hmm. put some political stances, would the editor clearly knock those out, or how does that go?
It just depends. I got some hate mail once. I did compare Trump to the Wichita State Shocker. People didn't like that, but that was just a factual comparison based on his appearance. But people didn't think that was funny, I guess. Some people didn't think that was funny.
Have you ever
looked at a side-by-side?
You mean the mascot?
Yes. Have you ever seen it?
I have not looked
at it. And that made its way through, and that upset the STL Today comment section.
Yeah, didn't like
it. It's usually very liberal. Let's see. Do we know if there's been an invitation extended to Misty Plops for his email of the day dynasty? Yeah, if anybody should get a trip to the White House, it's Misty Plops.
Yeah.
He has done. Jay, enough of this crap. Let's meet at the Village Bar for lunch. DM me. That's from Hall of Famer Dave.
Nice.
Do you know Hall of Famer Dave?
I love Hall of Famer Dave. He's one of the great people that served this country, and he's a grand fella.
Chug Bleach fan pin. That's from the 314. A lot of people don't like the fan pin.
Yeah, I think there is.
There's a backlash to the fan pin.
And I understand that. I mean, we have a very tight-knit community, and there are some people that just don't play in the Facebook world. And I understand that. And God bless them. They're probably a lot smarter than me. Now, I could beat their ass at Candy Crush. but they're probably doing much better in life than me. But I do think there is, from the terrestrial radio listeners on the Big 590 that aren't part of the fan page, that they miss some of this madness that is Inside STL, the Morning After, all that stuff.
Really? See, I don't know. I mean, I feel like we don't even like overlap with like a Bernie listener.
No,
or KTRS.
No, we don't want them. No.
Well, it's just they do their thing, we do our thing. So I don't even think about that stuff. I really, truly don't. I think people who've seen, you know, how we've operated it, I don't worry about it. Well, and then true, because usually that's the root, not to pull the behind the curtain, but that's the root of the joke of Radio Wars, that for years, when somebody either leaves a station or somebody's at a different station, they then attack the other station. And it's just like, why? Who gives a damn? Just take care of your own show, and then you'll take care of your own business, and you'll make your money. But
to
attack other people, I don't get it. And I've never really gotten it.
No.
But you know, and that's where the joke on the Radio Wars thing comes from. But for real, like 101, we would not work at 101. Not to say that 101 is looking to hire us, but we do one thing, they do another thing, and it appeals to two totally different audiences.
What's weird for me, though, Tim, I got to be honest with you, is being at a public facility and working there and coming in contact with 30,000 people on an annual basis, that nobody ever walks in and goes, hey, did you hear what Wheeler said? But every day, somebody says free dotum or this and that. So maybe it's partly because it's just me and I've been associated with it. But, I mean, I just don't understand it. But what has happened here is great, and I love it. And
God
good luck to everybody
you,
else.
Yeah. You're a gentleman.
I know.
Saying. I think it's two totally different eyes.
I mean, Wheeler may bring heat. I just don't get it.
Well, I don't know who I was telling this. I don't know if it was on the air and I was saying it, but occasionally I will look at who like either liked or retweeted one of my posts or liked or retweeted like a Bernie post, although he doesn't really tweet, I don't think, anymore that much, or Kevin Wheeler. And the reason I look is because it lends itself to the theory that I'm, you know, expressing right now. And most of the time, if they follow me, they don't follow them. And if they follow them, they don't follow me. And so that's my whole point. They don't really overlap. Like there was a time, for example, and of course there is some overlap. So you picture two circles and then how much overlap is there that really exists. But there was a time, and we have a great relationship. Hell, we're on 105.7 HD2. And I truly like and respect in a big way. This isn't just like a political statement. I mean, how can you not admire if you follow this game in St. Louis, the Rizzuto show and what those guys have built? I mean, that thing is huge. It kills it, kills it, kills it, kills it. That I had a number of people in radio saying that we should be on, you know, 105.7, not replacing that show, but just being on the station.
Sure.
And I always thought, don't get me wrong. I know the people there and big time fans of the people at Emmis, big time fans, great people. They know radio. They treat people right. They're respected throughout St. Louis and they make money. And those are the kind of people I want to be in business with in this industry. So I like them, but I don't know if our show is a fit for that because I don't think, even though we have a young audience like the Rizzuto show does, I don't think the two necessarily overlap. And I don't know if I can see Doug up on stage at Point Fest introducing Alice in Chains. I just don't know if I can see it.
Well, that'd be cool, though.
But it doesn't mean that. So again, it's a respect for what it is. But they have a huge. That's you want to talk about shows that have like followings in St. Louis, and maybe I'm missing them. Franco Pinion, Glover, Rizzuto show.
Yeah,
I feel I don't know if and I might be missing one because it's not like I'm locked in on terrestrial radio. But I think those are the kind. It's just, but it's a different audience. Like
and Buck Swope,
and then Swope's Picks. What yep. Swope's Picks has done. Kelly Chase going to join us on the other side of the break as we get back into Blues playoff discussion. He's presented by Petromart. This is the Ryan Kelly Morning Game.